The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Good morning, you're very well. Now, it's Wish Week here on News Talk. Throughout the show today, I'm going to be taking a spice challenge against my better judgment in a bid to earn your donation. So as the donations go up throughout the day, so will the spice level. My first target is €18,000. And if we reach that on the show, I'm going to take on the first spice level. So if the donations keep coming, so will the spices. So please get your donations in. Make-A-Wish grant life-changing wishes for children with critical medical conditions. Every single cent matters. Donate online at makeawish.ie/donate. And as a bonus to all of this, the Walt Disney Company Ireland, a loyal supporter of Make-A-Wish, has kindly offered to match all donations made up to 30,000. That means that once we get there to 30 grand, they're going to match it to a further 30 grand. So stay with us over the course of the morning as the spices increase and hopefully the donations too. Now though, to other news. Micheál Martin's leadership of Fianna Fáil is facing renewed threats this morning, with a group of TDs approaching senior ministers to discuss a change at the top. Let's speak to Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. It's getting a bit spicy for Micheál Martin too, isn't it, Fionnán?
Yeah, I mean, here we are once again with backbencher disgruntlement with Micheál Martin. Not just, you know, it's not him personally, it's his leadership style, the manner in which policy is formulated and communicated and implemented. That's again central to the issue. So we've kind of been here before. You'll recall only 6 months ago there was a minor event involving News Talk Off the Ball's new football correspondent, Jim Gavin.
That's right.
Where Micheál Martin came forward and said, oh yeah, absolutely, I'll talk and I'll consult and I'll tell everybody what's going on from here on. And he held meetings with backbenchers and there was going to be more input from people and meetings and talks and blah, blah, blah. And the point, I suppose, we made by some of the backbenchers now is, 6 months ago, we were told that in the intervening period, nothing happened. There was a few initial meetings with backbenchers and they were being patted on the back and told they were great lads. And Micheál was very interested in what they had to say. And the point's been made now is, okay, in the last couple of weeks, the backbenchers are saying, we were seeing what was coming down the track. We were flagging it with the leadership of the party and of the government and nothing was happening. And mm-hmm. then the fuel protests flared up. So they're saying nothing has changed there. But this has been a constant criticism of Micheál Martin's kind of centralised leadership style. You can go back to 2011, 16, 18, 20 and 25 and a few others in between. I suppose what's slightly different on this occasion is that the previous incidents tended to be kind of internal party matters, appointments of ministers, sacking of ministers, election fallout and things like that. This, at the heart of it, is a big, major issue that affected everybody in the country, which was the fuel protests. And the point being made by the three youngest TDs in the party yesterday is that it's not just about the fuel protests, that there are broader issues here about what they describe as the social contract being strained, but just issues that are affecting people, affecting their generation, where people are seeing they're not really getting a return for the endeavours that they're making. And ultimately, uh-huh. Fianna Fáil is the party of kind of the aspiring classes. If you get up early in the morning and you go out and work, society gives you back something in return. And they're now saying, well, listen, people are seeing that, you know, they're paying an awful lot. They're not seeing a return for their taxes. They can no longer expect to own a house of their own. So therefore, they're saying that's where the strain is now showing, where they're saying the fuel protests really weren't just about the fuel. It was about a wide range of other issues and certainly the broader support that the fuel protesters were getting mm-hmm. from public at large.
So, but Fionnán, what is behind this? Like, is it just three lads having a chat and deciding to issue a statement, or is there a wider movement around this? Are they putting it out there hoping that the movement will emerge, or is this it?
Yeah, so that's where things get even messier, because there, even before that statement was issued yesterday, there was a range of theories, rumours and speculation going around within the party about, you know, yet another heave, yet another move, yet another initiative to change the leader. So you can argue, okay, the flare has gone up here from the three young TDs. Other people have followed that on and said, yeah, we need to be talking about the leadership and the direction of the party. Hint, hint, you're pointing at one person in particular. But there's nobody latching on in terms of a figurehead to lead that. It's almost like putting an advertisement out there, leader wanted, and nobody responding mm-hmm. to it. So there is repeatedly talk about Jim O'Callaghan, of Dara O'Brien, of Dara Cleary. But none of the three of them are looking to step forward and lead a heave against Micheál Martin. Micheál Martin, we'll recall, is Fianna Fáil leader because, largely speaking, he was the one who led the charge against Brian Cowan. He resigned his position as Minister of Foreign Affairs back in early 2011, voted against Brian Cowan as leader of Fianna Fáil at the time. So then when the vacancy came around, there was an inclination in the party to go with him because, well, at least you stepped up. Now, that was a different scenario where a government was on its way out, a general election was in the offing. It's a big risk at the moment for someone who is sitting at the cabinet table in a portfolio to be sitting there going, so I'm going to put all this at risk because a bunch of backbenchers are saying they want to change, but I'm unclear that the numbers are there to actually bring about that mm-hmm. change. Or if you even are the one to move, are you going to be the one that gets the job?
Okay, so Micheál Martin is in Berlin today, isn't he? But he met, we're told, the three letter writers last night. So where does this go from here? Because we have these calls from more senior members of the party or longer serving members of the party, including Anne Rabbitt and Sean O'Farrell, to have a party-wide meeting to discuss all of this. So what happens next?
Yeah, and you know, they already have their weekly parliamentary party meetings. They already had a 5-hour meeting around this week about the fuel protests. So, you know, there's a difficulty here now from both the party's perspective because you've got two by-elections on the way, which will be taking up a lot of energy in terms of the party organization, the Vinard Esch coming up as well next month, likewise. And the Taoiseach is now fully into EU presidency preparation mode. He basically has to meet in person or speak to in detail every EU leader over the course of the next 3 months to talk about what they want and Ireland's priorities from our 6 months as holding the EU presidency. That takes up an awful lot of bandwidth in terms of government. It doesn't necessarily impact upon the public as much, and it doesn't necessarily take up a whole lot of time for backbenchers. But if you're a government minister, that is kind of your top priority now for the remainder of this year, preparing that agenda for the EU mm-hmm. presidency. So it's a very tricky time for Fianna Fáil to be talking about internal matters when there are broader external matters going on. And at the same time, he's going to have to manage issues domestically and also internationally in terms of what's the next developments in the oil crisis. So, you know, they can have all the meetings that they want about the leadership, but until someone actually steps up and says, I don't believe Micheál Martin should be the leader anymore, we need to change the direction, and I am the person to lead that, they're in the same position that they have been previously.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Jim Gavin, of course, taking us back to November when there was the last big noise around Micheál Martin's leadership. You're very unhappy with Jim Gavin's reaction and response in his first interview since he quit the presidential election campaign back in November. He was on Off the Ball Breakfast yesterday, as you alluded to there. What didn't he say and needed to say, in your view?
Well, there was no, like, Jim Gavin, listening to his explanation, could have just been a candidate who run and just naturally lost. And I tried it and I have a great belief in public service and it didn't work out. And you're kind of going, hold on a sec, Jim, you pulled out of the race in the middle of the campaign in a scandal which you have never provided an explanation for about how exactly you got into that position. So wasn't interested in his part on getting into that. there was no apology, there was no contrition, there was no mea culpa, there was no kind of humility. So if you're going to talk about, you know, honor and, you know, sense of duty and all of that, you could say as well, yeah, accountability is part of that as well, Jim. I think in fairness to the two lads on off the ball, they left the door wide open. They dropped plenty of questions to Jim where he could have gone into any of that. Quite clearly, he has decided, I'm moving on and I'm not going to get back into the events which led up to his departure. The his incredible explanation that he did not remember a dispute with a tenant, that this was what he was claiming at the time, that this was what he told Fianna Fáil. I mean, ultimately, it wasn't just his credibility that was damaged. It was the credibility of the Taoiseach and of the Fianna Fáil party to be putting out a pretty nonsense statement that a fella didn't remember owing someone €3,300 who was a former tenant of his, when, you know, there were legal letters and correspondence exchanged at the time. Kind of tried to bluff that out, didn't get away with it, and ends up dropping out of the race 48 hours later. So Jim Gavin doesn't want to go there, and he's decided he's going to move on. Yeah, that's fine.
Look, and he's entitled to do that, right? I mean, I think a lot of people would think that a lot of the blame for that fiasco back in November should be laid at Fianna Fáil's door for choosing somebody who had no experience in politics, for not doing a thorough enough background check on Jim Gavin, for not testing him in pressurised political situations, like he was heading into the Lion's Den. We all know that about presidential elections. So really that comes back to the party and the leadership again.
It does. And there were a couple of points that he made that were interesting. Like, he did say it took a big toll on his family and friends, and that he was reliant on people, you know, came out and supported him at the time. You'd like to have, you know, heard a bit more about that, and you'd sympathize with him in that regard. No doubt it was tough. He does make references to being more of a leader than a follower, and that seemed to be an allusion to the tensions that there were in the campaign around his candidacy and around the manner in which that campaign was run, which was a debacle from start to very abrupt finish. So you'd like to hear a bit more about that. The political system might learn a bit more about what needs to be done if you're going to bring in somebody who, as he says, was committed to public service and duty and honour. If you're going to bring in somebody like that into the bullpen of politics, what needs to be done? But, you know, there's still a whole host of unanswered questions, and Jim Gavin has decided, well, he's not going to be the one that answers them.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.